Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is DJ Carmi of KPTR, The Truth Behind the Music, and KPTR, The Party Train Radio. And today, we have with us Mr. Supreme, the Resurrector. He is an artist, and he's really making some noise right now. And first of all, I want to say thank you so much for coming on the show, Supreme.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
No doubt. It's an honor and our pleasure to do so. We want to get right on into the interview and start asking you about your history. And tell us where this all began for you by, I guess, letting us know when did you first realize you wanted to be in the music industry?
Well, we go back to the beginning. I just knew I wanted to be an entertainer. I didn't know what my talent was, though. You know, I listened to the radio, and I used to play the little pots and pans to the beat. So I knew I liked the beat. Whatever it was, I loved the beat. I knew I couldn't sing. I probably could dance a little bit, but I wasn't Michael Jackson, of course. But I knew I wanted to do something. And then all of a sudden, when Rapper's Delight came out with the hip-hop, the hibbity-hibbity, I thought, well, hey, that's something I can do. You know what I'm saying? So I considered myself a rapper from that day on. Because I could do it. I didn't have anything written. I didn't have any songs. I didn't have any clue how to make a song. I just knew I could make words rhyme like they did on that record. And then as, you know, of course, the Curtis Blows and the different artists would come out. I'm a kid, so, you know, I would imitate them. And then, you know, I really got into it around, I guess, 83, 84, like when you see Beach Street breaking, me and my childhood friend, which is also my DJ, Zodic D. We would go see the Breaking movies and the Beach Street movies and the Wild Style movies. And then we really knew this is what we wanted to do. But we didn't have a clue how to make it happen. We just knew how we, you know, I could rap, he could DJ. But anything, anyway, what did they say? You're not in the business until, I guess, you put out your first project. So I put out my first project in 1996. I was a part of a group called The Regulators, and that's when we put out our first record. And it was so before then it was, I guess, you were just honing your craft and getting better at what you do and learning the business of what we were doing. And then when we finally got around to putting that record out in 96, it like was down, you know, like off to the races from there. So with Dr. Shock, who was our producer and mentor, and The Regulators was the group, me and my partner, MC Kick and Exotic D. So I guess 96 is when I first really started making records. And then I just never stopped. I've been making records till yesterday, to this day.
Oh, man, that's awesome. So what's the earliest age, you think, that you were into it?
When I learned how to write a rhyme, I was around 14. A guy named MC around the block, he was good. He basically was like, you can rap, you know how to make the words rhyme, but you ain't writing them down. You know, they different every time. So, which was spontaneous. And so basically what I did from there was I learned how to write. And then a Grandmaster Caz, I seen it in the, like a library. There's a book called Hip Hop. And I seen this guy, Grandmaster Caz, who actually was the guy who wrote Rappers Delight, or co-wrote it. And what happened was I just seen all these stacks of notebooks that they say he just writes in. So from that day on, I bought like about 10 composition books, started writing. You know what I'm saying? And I had all these books of my book. So I was a real MC at that point because I had my books around. And now the songs were just my raps. I could pull my raps out of any time we had a house party. I know how to get my, you know, I know how to memorize my raps that was in my rap book. So that's basically how that's basically how I really kicked off as far as like the age of 14. And then, of course, you know, you're imitating the Run DMC. You're imitating Schoolie D, MC Breeze. And then as a little rap crew before the record was made, we actually started doing shows where we would open up for MC Breeze and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So that was like 14, 15.
That's what's up. Now, I know you said that you would just spit rhymes, so you was out there freestyling at that age, huh? You were just throwing the words together.
Yeah, that was an advantage. Right, that was an advantage because if you was in a you know, you gotta have right, you gotta have written rhymes, and that, and you know, the guy got the rhymes that's just so perfect and, you know, pinned just right. But I talk about you, what you got on, with your shoes and your hair skew, and the people in the crowd around you, and what the song is playing that we rapping to. So it was like more spontaneous. So that made it more. Yeah, that got to me. That got more oohs and ahs. Like ooh, ah, ooh, you heard me just said. And you know, you're looking at the guy, and you just going up and down. That's how Will Smith used to win battles, because you know he was like, I'm not the best rapper, but I can make fun of myself, and I can make fun of you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can be the I'm funny, and it's like he put the humor in it. And that's why I learned that too. Like, and that's a Philly. I don't know if it was a Philly thing, but I learned it from Philly artists that were really spontaneous. Like an MC Breeze, I learned like if a show mess up, you know, he just spontaneously just make you laugh where you don't even know the record skips or whatever mistake he might have made, it was not a problem. Like Schoolie D was just so intense. I mean, I learned a lot from him. And like the funny part is these guys I'm fans of as a kid. And now they like my big brothers, like Perry Pease and all that, man. These guys, I hang out with these guys, man. I learned a lot from them. I've been watching them ever since the beginning when they were in their heyday and how they were starting their own record companies, which, I basically, all my records are coming out on my own record company, which is more acceptable today than it was back then. Because before, you want to get on Def Jam. You want to get on Cold Chillin'. You want to get on, you know, you want to get on the most hottest label in the world. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
So now it's like 360. Now everybody got an independent label. So, you know, we all want to be independent entrepreneurs. Everybody got their own record label. But when you actually got your own record label and you're selling records, then you're really making some noise.
Absolutely. Yeah, everybody's going independent now, you know, and there's a lot of artists out there, and some of them are still looking to be signed to a major label. And it ain't like it used to be.
But the label thing is good now. It's like, if you're going to get signed, you better have you some leverage.
Exactly.
You got to have leverage. You got to put your, make sure you are in the driver's seat when it comes to the record label. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you don't want to have the disadvantage of they can take advantage of you. You know what I'm saying? So basically, we educate too as we get older. Like, okay, record deal ain't always what it's cracked up to be. It's like a lopsided loan. We will loan you everything you need, and we will charge you a heck of an amount of interest that you will either have to pay back, or you will be dropped, broke back, put back in the project where you came from the first part. Because we're bloodsuckers. That's all we want is your talent till you're no more good. And then we're rich, you're poor. But when you got your leverage, it's like, okay, now we're going to be partners because I have a fan base. I make money without you. Now you want to make money with me. Now come on board, we can be partners, and you can get your little cut, and I can get my big cut. And we can, and you know, you'll still get rich, but I'll get rich along with you because you got resources that I need as far as regular labels got the resources to put you on the radio. They have the resources to get you in maybe Walmart or something if you want to be in a record store chain. But if you're happy being independent and making all of the money and working a little bit harder, because you got to work a little harder as an independent, then go for it. You don't need a label yet. But eventually, everybody can use a label. Everybody can use a helping hand. But you got to make sure your hand is ready to be your partner as opposed to your oppressor.
Exactly, and you got to be hungry and ready to grind, too. You know what I'm saying?
You
can't be out there getting lazy.
People get their little record deal, and they feel, oh, we got it. So now we made it. We finally got our record. We worked so hard to get to this point. We made it. Now we let them do all the work. You know, we'll let them handle the hustle. They'll call us and let us know when we got to come to the show. Now, you got to work just as hard as you started when you get the label, because they ain't going to do everything for you. Like I said, eventually, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do or what the agreement was in the beginning, then they're going to drop you. There's no loss to them. You're a tax write-off.
Pretty much. I'm really glad that you put that out there, because I usually ask all the ones that I interviewed to put out some information for the up-and-coming artists. So I'm glad that you went on ahead and said that, because they need to know. You know, you got so many out there lost now, and it's just watered down at this point in time. You know, everybody is, and their grandma's out there rapping and singing. And,
and it's so easy because all you need is a computer and a program and a microphone, and you can get on this. You can put your product, whether it's great or if it's bad, you can say your product is in the same store as the Jay-Z's and the Beyonce, because everybody, it's one big store called iTunes and the internet and Spotify, and they don't care. They'll upload anybody. They'll upload a bird chirping. And if the bird chirping makes some money, you know what I'm saying, then that's going to be the new trend. Everybody's going to want a bird chirping on their record, you know what I'm saying?
You already know. I think they already got birds chirping.
Right. It's like Kanye can put out a scoopity poopity poop poop, which is dookity dookity doo doo, and it's acceptable. Like, in the day I come from, somebody would have been like, yo, dude, that's corny. Don't put that out there like that, because you're not going to get played on the radio. You're not going to get what you think you're going to get out of it. But in this day and age, if poopity scoopity doo come from the right person, believe me, if it's coming hit, then everybody and their mother going to be poopity doopity scooping on records.
Exactly. You know, it's a popularity contest out here. You know, Kanye can do it, but you know, you can't. Everybody can't get away with it.
Not at all.
And let's go back a little bit again. Because I know you mentioned that, you know, when you first heard Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight, that's what inspired you. But I wanted you to tell me who was your biggest inspiration back then as far as artists.
Like I said, I loved all the Philly artists. These are the guys that, you know, we could look up. I looked up to because, you know, I seen, Lady B played a lot of Philly artists in Philadelphia. As well as the big New York artist at the time. And I think the big markets at that time was like New York and a little bit of, you know, Philadelphia, New York, some L.A. Down south wasn't even cracking like that unless you was like Luke and the Two Live Crew, you know what I mean? But I really felt heavily in, I won't say like in love, like that was my boyfriend or something, but I love the music of Big Daddy. Like, Big Daddy Kane and the LLs was really inspiring to me, because they were the guys that they looked like me, and, you know, they I could relate to them. And Big Daddy Kane was very skillful, and that was, like, my favorite first phase. Like, yo, this is my guy right here. If I want to be anybody in this music business, I want to be like Big Daddy Kane. You know what I mean? Like, I got to meet him a few times, and just hear him talk to me was, like, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like, and the jewels that he gave me was unbelievable. And it was basically a dream come true to meet your hero. You know what I'm saying? And he was a good hero. So they say the worst thing you could do is sometimes is meet your idol, because then you find out that they really ain't all they cracked up to be. But he was really a good guy. You know what I'm saying? For a long time, it was Big Daddy Kane until the new artists started coming out. Then I just started getting into the Redman and the Wu-Tang Clan. And then, you know, as I started getting into the streets of the promotions of what's going on in the streets, me and a partner, my man Mills, we used to be like on a lot of the street teams used to take us around with them. So we'd meet these artists. So we would meet the Method Mans, we would meet the Wu-Tang Clans, we would meet the DMXs.
Yeah.
Then I got on a television show called Urban Expressions, which was like the BET of the hood. And we played all these videos. So we were interviewing everybody's favorite rapper. So I was on there for like 10 years behind the scenes on the media tip, because my partner had to make me do it, because I was like, I don't really want to be on television. I'm a rapper. And he was like, man, when you don't have a record out, you're going to be on TV every Saturday. You know what I'm saying? Every Saturday, you're going to be on TV. You're going to be interviewing the people that's trying to get their record played. So you're going to get on TV, and you're going to do well. And I got on TV, and I did well. And 10 years later, I was a major cast member of the Urban Expression Crew, which led the show was on for up to 20-something years. Until, like, I guess the YouTubes and, you know, the new thing. You know, I was the old end with the new, like, radio. Video killed the radio. YouTube killed the video. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they sure did. All right. And you said that you, now did you get a chance to meet DMX? You mentioned his name earlier.
Who?
DMX. Did you get a chance to interview him or meet him? What was it like?
I didn't actually interview DMX. I was an invited guest to the Hard Knock Life tour with Jay-Z, and I was like a guest of Jay-Z and a guest of Def Jam. So, of course, DMX and Jay-Z headlined it. So the brief encounter that I had with DMX was awesome, too, because he's like a real individual. Like, he's hyper and, you know, with the barking thing. But he was a good dude, you know what I mean? And at that show, that's when we really got to know Method Man and got to hang out with Method Man. And like I said, as a student of the game and a fan of the game, as well as being there on the aspect of I'm an artist too, and I don't want you to look at me like I'm some type of peon or something. So it was always a respect level with all the artists that I met, as well as, okay, not only is this guy a fellow artist, but he's media. You know what I mean? He's actually somebody that we need to play our video. You know what I mean? Our record company has arranged us to be in front of this guy to talk about what we got. So it was like, always had a good amount of respect in the music game as far as being on the level I was. You know, for somebody that wasn't, you know, out of there, but at the same time, I was still respected. I was still respected. And I appreciate that, because that respect is what I hold to this day. You know, so a lot of the artists I've met, like Ludacris and Kanye, you know, just from being the guy that had to interview these people. You know what I mean? So I met, like I tell everybody, like the people that you idolize, I've met your favorite rapper. You know what I'm saying? Well, why are you not signed to Jay-Z? Why are you not signed to Woo Woo? I mean, like, I interviewed these people. I got footage of it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't have to beg for a record deal. You know what I mean?
Right.
Some of them were begging for interviews.
Oh man, so Supreme, we are already up on high time. Time flies when you're having fun. And so what we're going to do is we're going to play your song, Queen of the Wobble, at halftime. And then when we come back, we're going to talk more about your brand new projects and also find out what you're doing now and where will you be performing next.
Not a problem.
All right, so coming up right now is Queen of the Wobble by Supreme the Resurrector.
Come on. Hey. Here we go. Come on.
Well, you the queen of the wobble, and I like your shape. Well, you the queen of the wobble, and I like your shape. Well, you the queen of the wobble, and I like your shape.
Hey.
I like your shape.
Come on.
I like your shape. Well, you the queen of the wobble, and I like your shape. Well, you the queen of the wobble, and I like your shape. Well, you the queen of the wobble, and I like your shape.
Hey.
I like your shape.
Come on.
I like your shape.
Whoa, your pretty toes hanging out of your flip-flops. Banging ass body, baby girl, you get props. The queen of the shake, meet the king of funk rock. Make it hot, fragments that'll make your rope drop. Your bubble so big like a shot with both eyes. Wobble so fast like your body's a robot. Move it all around, let me see that thing pop. Back it up, baby, let it go like slingshot.
The queen of the wobble, I like your shake. You the queen of the wobble, I like your shake. You the queen of the wobble.
I like your shit.
I like your shit. I like your shit. I like your shit.
out your chop. If we was on the ship, you would make that boat rock. Full speed ahead, not looking for roadblocks. I'ma hit hard like making a donut. Whip your hips, wobble, wobble, you don't stop. People all around like you was the dope spot.
That was the Queen of the Wobble by Supreme.
Yeah.
Oh, hot, by the way.
You like that?
Oh, yeah. I truly enjoy that. See, I'm from the South, so we all about that line dancing.
Yeah,
down this way. Yeah, that track is hot. So, Supreme, tell me about your new project that you have going on right now.
Well, back then, we in the process of working on a new album called The Concoction. Mm-hmm. And I got two singles released that are going to be added to the Concoction project, with one more to drop soon before the whole project drops. And that's a record called Bucket List, where I listed some of my little young cannons considering my Concoction, a nice little mix of my crew. And so the Bucket List is the one single, and then there's a new single that we just dropped called Oh No Don't. And that's featuring my brother Judah Priest and the producer of Bucket List and Oh No Don't, Gallo Lockness. And that's doing really well right now. You know, we got a new video out for it, and it's about respect, you know what I mean, where the OGs got to kind of really respect the new Jacks, and the new Jacks got to really respect the OGs, because, you know, we really paved the way, like my OGs paved the way for me. So you got to look at me. If you're younger than me, I'm paving the way for you. But at the same time, you putting youth in the game and coming around me, you giving me a little more longevity, because now your market is experiencing my experience, you know?
That's right. You know, and that's, and you giving back. And, you know, that's really appreciated, you know, in the industry, because, you know, a lot of them don't. You know what I'm saying? You got to remember where you came from, because some of these young guys out there are really trying to get on board, and they just being left hanging. But, you know, I truly love artists like you.
Right. I learned it from George Clinton. Like, I learned it from George Clinton. He was like, if you keep being the dinosaur and don't want to change with the way the music, because you can't help the way the music is changing. Like, I don't know who pushed the button and turned boom bap into trap. I don't know who had that power or who, who put that money up to make that transition happen. But at the same time, it happened. So either you're going to get lost in the shuffle, or you gonna learn how to roll with the boat. You know what I'm saying? So he basically works with young artists. Like I said, his brand is Parliament Funkadelic, which is still a popular brand at 75, 76 years old. He's still on tour, and his band is younger and younger. He still got his OG vets with him, but he got his grandkids with him to show him. I guess they like, this is how we do it now. So my daughter, who's 16, keep me hip on who the new artists are. And some of them I really like, you know what I'm saying? Some of them are actually, like, really, really good. Like, hey, man, I can't hate on Amigo. You know what I'm saying? I can't hate on Amigo. I can't hate on some of the things that the Kid 69 got. But the thing I can hate, and I'm not happy with, is the actions. Like, why are you putting yourself in a position trying to be the toughest rapper instead of just being a great rapper? You got to be the toughest gangsters rap in the street, and that's going to end up getting you killed. Y'all, I mean, you losing your peers quicker than I'm losing my peers. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's so true.
Like, these kids is killing themselves, and I'm like, you ain't got to use that tactic to become popular, because the masses will make you gladiator fight until everybody's dead. Because if you're listening to the Peanut Gallery, which is the instigators, but if you're listening to music fans that's saying, yo, I really like this song, now we talking. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like your, let your music speak as opposed to getting your YouTube up because you're doing stupid stuff. Like the news, yeah. The news is going to cover you and make a fool out you all day long. That's like the devil. The devil going to make a fool out you all day long until he's done with you. And once he's done with you, just like a record company, they're going to throw you away. So when you ain't funny and cute no more, then what? What you going to fall back on? You ain't rely on your music. You ain't rely on your music. You relied on your antics. And that's the dumb part. That's what I'm trying to instill in the cats. Now, man, let's get back to music. Like everybody I name, as far as my heroes, my EPMD, my Wu-Tang Clan, which is family, man, I love them for their music. We didn't even know what each other looked like because there wasn't like a whole lot of music videos like they are now. Like everything you do now is a visual for it. You got to put your visual out there because this is a visual market. But before right. word of mouth, like FUBU became a popular because you seen the F on somebody's shirt. And the mm-hmm. Wu-Tang Clan became a popular hip-hop group because you seen this strange W on people's shirts. And he's like, well, who are these guys? Oh, I like their music.
Right.
You still ain't know what they look like. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Only rapper you really knew what looked like was Run DMC because they was on MTV a lot. You know?
Right. So, Supreme, tell them where they can get your music. And you're already enlightening us on some really good information for the up-and-coming artists. But let's go ahead and put your social media information out there and let us know where you're going to be performing next.
No problem. My social media is, I like to tell people to come to my world, which is my website. And that's www.supreme.com. And from there, you can get everything you want to know about me as far as my music, where to buy it. You can look at the latest videos. You can check out the tour things that's coming up as far as the next show dates and upcoming. Everything is on the website. And then as far as, you know, the people that want to like to do the Facebook thing is always Supreme the Resurrector. And on Instagram, it's Supreme DR. But all my music is in all platforms. My album Shades, which was my last project, is available on iTunes and everywhere music is streamed or whatever. Yeah. Or you can come to a show and get a physical CD. And as far as my upcoming shows, we got a tour coming with I'm a special guest with my brother Judah Priest, who's headlining the Last Shelby First Tour with Gallo Loch Ness and my main man from Colorado, mm-hmm. Chris Cross. And we're going from the Pennsylvania area all the way down to the West Coast in Modesto, California over the next few months. So the next show, I got an award coming up for like immediate performance is on the 25th. And then we're doing the Liberty Music Fest, that's a big music festival in Philadelphia, on that weekend. Well, actually next weekend. But the tour starts August 29th in Atlantic City. And like I said, we're going to go all the way to Colorado. We're going to West Virginia. We're going to New Mexico, Arizona, mm-hmm. and California. So that's what me and Judah will be doing for the next few months. And all tour dates can be checked out on the Facebook page or Instagram page for the Last Shelby First Tour.
All right. So you guys make sure that you please go and like the fan page, especially on Facebook. Help get those likes up. Make sure that you are, you know, trying to reach out because you say you start August the 29th. Y'all are going to start.
August 31st. I'm sorry, August 31st August. Is in Atlantic. August 31st, Atlantic City at Proud Mary. That's the first date. And then we're going to be doing a series of dates in the Pennsylvania, New Jersey area. And then we're going to go to the West Coast around at the end of September, beginning of October.
Right.
And we won't be back till November. I'll be gone till November. Gone till November.
I heard that. Well, Supreme, it was a pleasure to have you on our show, KPTR, The Truth Behind the Music. Maybe you can come back next year. Let us check up on you. I want to thank everybody for being tuned in today. Please, like I said, go check him out on social media. Go get that brand new project. He's dropping that new album. And that single was Oh No Don't. Am I correct?
Oh No Don't. Oh No Don't. Yes, it is. It's really
That's
Oh No
right.
Don't. Yeah, Oh No Don't.
Oh
but
No
it's
Don't.
It's the video's out on YouTube featuring Supreme the Resurrector, Judah Priest, and Gallo Loch Ness, as well as the Bucket List, with my little shorties, Whitney Payton, Rio Sound, and Lisi B. Yeah, that's the new.
Okay.
That's for the new Jacks.
All right, and guess what? We cannot forget the joint we just played. All you lined in addicts.
For the grown and sexy, Queen of the Wilders for the grown and sexy, and for the people
okay.
that just like to twist and shake. We don't discriminate when it comes to shaking.
I know that's right. All right, it has been
DC
a blast.
Love that DC go-go, always a part of my heart.
Oh, yeah, you know, I got to send this out, too. I got about 20 DJs I got to drop that on.
Oh, please
and let's
do.
See how it does in the club. But,
that would be so appreciated.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And like I said, we want to see you back here again possibly next year. And we're going to go ahead and end it. Is there any last shout-outs you want to send?
Shout-out to Valerie Denise Jones, Gloria Talley from GT Management, my man Rich Waller, my man Mark Mills, 144,000 Chosen Few, my family, and all the concoction artists that I named earlier, Rio and BCB. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. The city of Philadelphia, we love you. And trying to bring home the musical ring like the Eagles brought home the football ring this year.
There you go. All right, for all you artists that are tuning in, make sure you check out the website, www.partytrainradio.com, especially if you want to get some music spinning, you know, get your stuff on air. And with that being said, this is your girl, DJ Carmi, and we are out.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.